Incoming transmission.
We have arrived for something amazing. A reveal has happened that we have been waiting 30 years for.
Butt bugs?
No, a magical moment in space and time where we get to see the Breen. And we were right. Well, Jason was right. Jason Roy Gaston, more specifically. I'm Captain Joe Dove. I am joined by Jason and Jason, VHS Jason, Jason Roy Gaston. And we are not alone. We are joined by the infamous background actor, the handsome man himself, wearing some brilliant threads, David J. himself. What is going on?
Back.
How are you? Welcome back to the Captain Squadron. Yeah, nice to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be back.
Yeah.
Sure. Before we go on, can we let him humble brag? Because we all got to see David this week on a trailer.
Yeah. Please tell us what happened today.
Was it today? But yeah.
Yeah, you'll see me in theaters August 9th in the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, Trapped. Go see it in theaters and maybe you'll see me.
Amazing.
It's a great trailer, by the way. Like, I love that setup. Like, it can be hit and miss, but this one seems like a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all enjoy it when it comes out in theaters.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. We're going to say hi to our friend, My Figure Universe. Greetings and salutations. Good to see you. And then the trailer for that movie looked really good. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. Well, my good friend, when you see it, make sure you look out for David. His face will be on the screen. Then you go, I know that guy. And then you'll remember the Captain's Quadrant, finally. All right. Well, we have a great show for you this week. We're going to discuss a very excellent episode of Star Trek Discovery. And it is called Mirrors. And it's going to be a lot of fun. A little bit of Star Trek news. A little bit of fun to be had. And some exciting things. And things are going to be a little bit changed up. Because the mastermind behind all the keys has made the decisions to make things a little bit brighter, a little bit fonder. But one thing has not changed. And that's the intro. Jason Roy Gaston, if you please. I think I did a good job this week. We'll let Jason.
We will see.
Yeah.
Synopsis.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Roy Gaston reads synopsis.
Mirrors. Captain Burnham and Book journey into X. Trad-dimensional space in search of the next clue to the location of the progenitor's power, while Rayner navigates his first miss. Scion, in command of the USS Discovery, and Culber opens up to Tilly.
Indeed. That's good, right?
Yes, it was rather good, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well done, John. Well done. Well, okay.
Thank you for not using ChatGPT this time.
Thank you. I never used ChatGPT. All right, let's talk.
Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't.
Thanks.
All right.
I never get tired of that bumper. You know,
no.
I actually did some digging.
Oh,
and I found the extended cut of that bumper, and by astonishing coincidence, I have it, and here it is.
Thanks.
I rather enjoy the director's cut of that movie, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Was that a McVeigh version? Or
I'm pretty sure I saw a unicorn in that version.
they call that the Battleships version.
Well, hopefully folks are still here and After all that flatulence.
Watching that viewer count go down.
Wow. I was like, wow.
We're just has been consistent. This is the level of humor we provide here.
All right. So, David, what did you think? What was your first impression of the show?
It's no lie that I've not been a big fan of Star Trek Discovery, but I will admit this has probably been the best season that I've watched of the show by far.
Wow. Okay. Short and sweet. Jason Roy Gaston.
Ah, yes. In Big and Me, please. I really enjoyed it. There were lots of surprises in this episode. Lots of just good character moments and balanced out with good action and stuff exploding. And I think this is Discovery's best season so far. I really hope that they can keep up this momentum.
All right. Mr. Hatswell, if you please.
Yeah, look, I've been that old man yelling at Star Trek, however, I did enjoy this one. But the one thing I'm left with this episode is the Breen, right? Spoiler alert, the Breen are in it. So the Breen are basically a mix of humanoids and flubber. Because that's what they look like.
Yeah.
No, it was great. You know, I famously said last week, there no way will it be the Breen. It won't be the Breen, which I still don't think they're the big, big bad. But yeah, there you go. All about the Breen. So it was good. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
True. Except the stuff with the Doctor and Tilly.
Why?
Did not dig into that at all. I'm not a big fan of that Doctor. I just don't like that, the way he plays that Doctor.
Wow.
I think he's a fantastic actor, and he proved it a couple of weeks ago. But I just don't like the Doctor, and of course...
Another view drop right after he said that. Oh,
and of course, Space Karen. Yeah.
More drop.
I'm digging on Mum Space Karen now.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
We respect Wilson Cruz and Dr. Culber in this house, Mr.
No, I'm going to see another doctor. Sorry.
The EMH. Oh, my. You know what I noticed? They don't have an EMH in the future?
We probably didn't need one.
No. Not on Discovery, but yeah. I'm surprised they don't have one. Anyway.
Well, maybe they're all enrolled in Starfleet and they all have rank and some of them are captains by this point. Yeah. Maybe they're all they're all living with all the Datas on another planet, and they've made some unholy amalgamation of Data androids so that the Daters or the Doctas, I don't know.
Yes.
We've seen the Datas in this version, all Timu versions of Data.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wish Datas.
I don't want the Wishchair version of Datas.
I thought this was a fantastic episode. We're really getting into the lore and the whole gambit of the chase. It's interesting how they managed to hide that piece there in such a wild spot. And I also appreciate how clever Mock and Locke are and the love story that's kind of bringing them together. I feel that that is the background happiness and probably going to be the sum of all fears in the end, because I just feel like this whole story is building on the fractured loves that are happening throughout the characters that we have enjoyed throughout the seasons of Discovery, and now it's going to like kind of put those love connections back together, and that is the point of Locke and Maul. So that is my first contact. Now let's see other highlights of the episode. Let's just have a free-for-all of just a bobbing and scatting, if you will, of what we liked and didn't like in this episode.
I like the hunt. I'm a big, and it's probably more than just this episode. It's been the last. I love the idea of them every episode collecting the next piece. I feel like we really got drive this season now throughout the show. And I really liked Michael Burnham again as a character this week. I think she has done a big turnaround this season, far as I'm concerned. Maybe it's just because I'm judgy, but I like this version of Michael Burnham a lot. She is a full-blown captain. She knows what she's doing. And it's a bit less than the emotion and more in the let's get stuck into it. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Jason?
The show is definitely a lot more optimistic this season, and I really dig that. I like that they have found a balance between the arc-based seasons and doing episodic television as well, because every episode this season has had a beginning, middle, and end, and it's had a satisfying conclusion. So every week I don't think, oh, well, I guess we'll wait until next week to see how the story goes. No, the story has an ending every week, and I think that they have finally, they finally nailed their stories this season, and I think that it has led to stronger episodes, stronger character arcs, and just a great season overall. I hope they can stick the landing, because Discovery's not great at that. I really hope they stick the landing this season.
All right, David, wearing that phenomenal Captain's Quadrant shirt that you can get yourself if you go to captainsquadrant.com and buy your own.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's gorgeous, yes.
Indeed.
All yours, buddy.
I'd agree with Jason. Like I said, I tuned out with Strange New Worlds Discovery after season two. I've not seen the past seasons and stuff like that until recently. It's good to see it that it's gone back to episodic. That's what Star Trek should have been all these years. Maybe they took, you know, the success of what Strange New Worlds has been doing and just added to that. But it's good to see that Discovery's got its legs in its last season, and it's a shame it's coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was a good point, actually. I wonder if they were inspired by Strange New Worlds, what they have been doing. Because they got it right out of the gate, right? They found a balance between an overarching storyline and episodic stuff. So
right.
I think a lot of this was shot in 2022, if I'm not mistaken. But they also had reshoots last year, right? So maybe they just took what Strange Worlds has done in season one and season two and just added to it.
Yeah, wow.
That's a good good point. I mean,
like I said, can I just say though, what really sucks now, remember, about this episode? Second episode in a row, no Saru.
Yeah.
Stop talking about Saru and bring back Action Saru.
He talks about Action Saru. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that a couple of times now. I want to see more Action Saru.
Yeah. It was interesting that
should be Action hanging Saru out with that MILF Vulcan.
Action Saru led the rebellion in this ISS Enterprise, which I thought.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. And hey, the Enterprise, everyone, like.
That looked cool.
Lose their bridges over that or what?
What's wild is now when Michelle Yeoh was in our universe coming from theirs, she couldn't stay in phase form. She kept glitching, so to speak. You guys think that's what's going to happen to the Enterprise?
She was glitching because she not only changed universes, but she traveled in time. And apparently you can do one or the other, but you can't do both. No. And that's why the one officer that they showed the hologram of, Yor, the Beetlejuicean, who they said had to be put down, he came from the Kelvin universe and came forward into the future during the Temporal Wars, and that's how they learned about this condition. So the people who came over on the ISS Enterprise, as long as they didn't time travel, they should be fine.
So that ship's been sitting there 800 years just chilling.
That was my impression, even though for an 800-year-old starship, the insides of it looked immaculate.
Yeah,
there must have been
blood stains either from all.
There must have been a dot with a vacuum cleaner and a dust rag going around every couple of hundred years, just kind of dusting.
Yeah, because when we got to that Vulcan ship, the Romulan ship earlier on in the season, it was a mess. But this one,
they couldn't mess up the Strange New World sets that much. They had to, you'd get Anson Mount coming onto the bridge going, "Who's been leaving rocks on my bridge?"
Yeah.
Why are there always rocks on the bridge? I don't care.
So one of the things that we had discussed in our theories was, the Breen being the big bad. And now that we saw...
Here's a picture of the Breen again.
Flubber Breen. Were you guys shocked? I mean, I was, but were you guys shocked to find that Locke was a Breen?
Yeah, I was, but
not because it was a surprise. I was thinking they still don't know what a Breen looks like.
Yeah.
Didn't didn't your Kira strip one and steal their uniform, and she didn't go up to him and go, "Hey, yeah, the Breen look like lime jello, by the way." Which I'm gonna say, the lime jello Breen, I thought they looked really cool.
Yeah,
the effects were pretty solid with it.
Yeah.
The eye color and the fact you could see the teeth through the skin and everything, I was just like, that's really neat. It's too bad that they can't afford for Locke to look that way the entire time.
No. Yeah. Well, so is the way they explain it, as soon as the air they kind of go a little bit solid, is that choose to do that? Was that an effect of the environment?
Effect of the environment, I got.
Yeah, it's got to be, because when the uncle undid his thing, he stayed jello, right?
Right.
He didn't go solid.
And he put his stuff right back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it must be like air contact that like solidify a little bit.
Right.
So that's science.
Yeah.
Science.
Neil deGrasse Tyson would be proud. That's probably Dr. Muhammad Noor, because he's the science consultant for the science fiction show. So he kind of puts a little bit of reality into the science fiction.
In other words, it's a special effects gun. We can't afford these. We need an answer quick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just amazing. 17 seconds of Jello Breen, and that's it. That's all we can afford.
That's all we can afford. This
We've week. Got to take. We got. We can't take away from Captain Pike's hairspray budget. You've got.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
This is a lead-in for David, whether he wants to talk about it or not.
Yes. Can you?
The uniforms.
Yeah.
Of the Breen, they're pretty air. They were tight. They were different too.
Yeah. That's spoiler alert, I was not in Star Trek Discovery at all, but I knew people who were, and quite a few people said that those Breen outfits were not very comfortable at all. The helmets, my friend said, felt like wearing a motorcycle helmet, but the bodysuits were definitely not comfortable at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine bathroom breaks would have been easy.
Yeah.
Well, just the Strange New Worlds ones were a pain, because it was all zippered up at the back, so I had to see what that was like.
So that's when you phone a friend, and be like, "Hey, Jason, come on, tell me.
You gotta help me. This thing's creasing in uncomfortable places. This uniform's going where no man has gone before."
Exactly.
Now, but the Breen redesign, I thought was
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, it was really good. Like it, because they looked cool for the 90s, but they didn't look cool. Don't look cool anymore. Those ones from Deep Space.
No. No,
but they're able to evolve them.
I still want to wear
characters, but I just see Bosch from Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia's like bounty hunter.
Yeah, exactly. One of the most interesting things I found was how Locke and Maul got together. Like the fact that she was, what's that?
I don't like them trying to infuse a Romeo and Juliet style romance into it.
Yeah, like she's a poor trader and he's royalty.
I get the feeling she is going to definitely screw him over. Definitely.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. I just think she is. You give me that vibe.
Thank you for backing that up, sir.
I don't know. I get this gut feeling it ain't going to... Well, it's either she's going to betray him because she has to, or one of them's going to die. Like, there's no way around this. Someone, like, tragedy is going to befall them. If they're doing the Romeo and Juliet, this doesn't end up with a wedding in the end. So that worked out for the people in Attack of the Clones pretty well, but go on.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think that it's going to...
How dare you?
I think the big bad is going to be revealed, and they're going to have to join with Discovery's team to take on the rest of the Breen, because the Breen probably have stakes in it, because from the last episode, the Breen got the progenitor weapon and destroyed everything. So I'm going to lean with it'll be an awesome team up, and Love will win, and Burnham and Books are going to get back together, and then...
You mean Beta Boy Book.
There it is. And that picture of him that you got is just so like so docile. Like you really scoured the internet for the most docile picture of Books that you could possibly find.
Well, didn't you? Okay, like the whole thing, I never buy into Books' emotional connection with Mull. Like, I think she calls it out perfectly. Like, I don't care about you.
Yeah, that's a good
point. He's so emotionally invested in protecting her, and she don't want nothing to do with it. In fact, her dad was an abuser, apparently.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is kind of a unrequited platonic love there. You know, he feels this thing for her that she doesn't feel for him. I am going to say, though, I'm really digging Mock and Lal's relationship.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people aren't into the romance, but I think that the two actors just have a lot of chemistry together and they're fun to watch. And
right. You
really do get a sense that they do care about each other because they're like the only stable thing in their weird, wild, crazy life where they're having to run for their lives. And I'm also going to say, in response to the big bad, I still hope that there's not a big bad this season. I hope it's just a chase to get artifacts. And maybe at the end, whenever they do get to the progenitor technology, it's something that they accidentally unleash and they can't get a hold of. And that's when they all join forces. And they're like, oh, God, push it back in Pandora's box. I don't want to see a big mustache twirling villain this year. I just want to see a Star Trek for the one with the whales kind of thing, where it's just, here's a situation and we have to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we've said that before. Some of the best Trek ever has no villain.
It would remind me of season one of Picard, because ultimately there was no big bad. It was some tentacles that popped out of a hole, and then
out of all the examples you put there,
that's what I mean. I think there is a big bad because it'll be more fun.
Can I say though? I've been watching season one of Next Generation again.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the cheese. I watched the episode when the bow breaks last night, and what shocked me was the progenitors were mentioned in that episode.
No way. Yeah. Season one?
Yes. You know, when they get they capture the kids, right? They take all these kids because there's a planet that are sterile. So they pinch these kids and they have this mega computer. And then they go to describe, like, they ask, where did this come from? And they said the progenitors built it hundreds of centuries ago.
Whoa.
That blew my mind. They were first mentioned in season one, episode 18.
Well, the word progenitor literally means someone who came before us. So
yeah, I know.
They could have just used it for somebody else.
Just let them have it. I wrote it
down so that I could know what
fit. They knew what they were doing.
This was long-term
story. Okay, we've all seen the first season of Next Generation. They did not know what they were doing.
Oh, mate, but the last episode I watched last night, which was the with the admiral that de-ages, the Benjamin Button one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a tough watch.
That'll be on the wheel.
Put it on the wheel. Put it on the wheel.
That's a tough one.
Too long an episode.
Yeah.
I agree, though.
I'm totally an old man.
Too short a season was the episode. Yeah.
I literally just said that.
Oh, you did? Did you? I wasn't listening to you as normal.
And you thought my.
I honestly don't even blame you, to be honest.
So
I agree, though. Let's not see another big bad villain come into this season. Just like Picard. Like, I think it almost ruins bringing the Borg in. It ruined Amanda Plummer's performance. I don't want to see the Cardassians be the big bad villain or whoever it could be. You don't even have enough episodes left to even give them some story.
Yeah.
I agree. Agree with Jason. I agree.
And you know what? I think the other issue is with Star Trek moving forward is, does it have to connect to villains we've already seen? Let's keep expanding the universe and not make it a neighborhood.
Yeah. I want to see those butterfly people again, man. Those were cool.
You are obsessed with the butterfly people.
I am. They're so cool looking.
You think their babies are like caterpillars?
That's what I'm wondering. I have so many questions.
He owns like five copies of Cocoon.
Yeah, I love that movie, actually.
This pulsating larva is just like, oh, kiss it. No.
It's like, what is it, Mothra's larva? Yeah, silk for everybody. ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share with you that my mom's awake. Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Yes. Good to see you.
In case you want to catch up, this episode's about the brain. Here's a picture.
Here's the brain.
Can I play the first contact footage again?
No.
I'm cool with it.
No.
Okay, that's good. JJ extended cut.
I'll put it in my TikTok. You can see it.
Yes. Oh, jeez. The other thing that I was really surprised at was when they sent out the tractor beam and sent the signal that connected to his one of his greatest stories, the our gruff former captain, now first officer. I thought that was really cool. It was a really cool connection between the two of them and the growth of the team working together, because he worked with Samus and Tilly to get everything working.
Yeah, and you know what? They're done with that now, far as I'm concerned. Okay, we get it. He's getting along with the crew now. Let's
move on.
Move on.
We don't have that many episodes. Yes.
Yeah, we don't have
that many episodes. I like that they're digging into Kelleran traditions now, and they're saying, yes, he is an alien. This is what makes him different. Who boils a cake, though?
Oh, yeah.
He said, don't knock it till you try it. And I'll be on that.
I did like that, though, that they were under a clock, that they had to get this stuff done quickly. And Adira has to stop and say, you boil cakes? and instead of saying, get back to work, he feels like, yeah, don't knock it till you tried it. Okay, now continue. Yeah, he had to explain that. I just love that.
I think that's a good lead-in for me to talk about my Discovery Bingo this week.
Oh, I have one question, but we'll fire at Will on that one.
Okay, here we go. Discovery Bingo. Now, last time I didn't get anything last week, but I had those two already knocked off. But this week, if you have a look on the top right, the crew will complete a mission or a task less than 3 seconds to go. Now, I ticked this, and I'll tell you why I ticked this. Uh-huh. It's because when they were coming out, the ISS Enterprise, at one point they go 20 seconds left. I counted down, and they absolutely got there within the 3 second mark. So I'm taking that for a claim.
Yeah, give it to them.
And the other one I got, if you go over to the left side and the middle one down, the bridge will, in any moment of collision attack on the ship, will shoot fire at multiple console panels. Oh boy, did they show that in droves with the ISS Enterprise. I swear at one point there were flames shooting out of the background that I'm pretty sure I saw the tube where they would like the pyrotechnics guy going, better shoot some more flame.
Oh, man.
I was just wondering.
Need better engineers.
Has the bridge of this ship been shedding sparks for like 900 years?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Yeah. Great.
There'd be piles of ash on the ground or something.
So I'm pretty happy with this. After about four episodes, I've got four kind of ticked off, because obviously the ultimate game here is to eventually get...
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you're getting there. I believe it's time. No, I have a question before. Well, I mean, we'll fire at Will, and then I'll ask my question. So let us fire at Will.
Fire at Will.
All right. So one thing that bugged me that maybe I just heard wrong, but you guys can clarify, because I only watched episode once. I thought that they said we've got three life forms on this ship. Two of them are Lock and Maul.
And one is the artifact. I noticed that.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm not going crazy. Yeah. Who is the other one?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it was an error in dialogue, because at one point Burnham says, scan this, whenever she's trying to fool them, she says, scan this object, you'll see that it matches the quantum signature from our universe. So I think what they meant was there are three quantum signatures from our universe. Two are Locke and Maul, the other is the artifact. That's what I think they meant to say, but either the dialogue was wrong or the dialogue wasn't very clear.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's implying then that the artifacts are living beings in themselves then.
Must be.
That's what it's implying.
Wouldn't that be a twist ending? They're changelings. Yeah.
It's like
those little toy egg things, and you break it open, inside is a butt bug.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what they are.
I would be so happy just to say, I told you so at the end of the season.
I mean,
I don't want a big bad unless it's butt bugs.
Oh, imagine. We told you we'd be back. The other thing that I wondered is, what crew members? I couldn't remember the names. What crew members are taking the ISS Enterprise back? And what the heck are they going to do with that ship?
Owazakun and Detmer, because they weren't in this episode. And so I guess they came up with a reason why they're not going to be in future episodes, which disappoints me because I like Owazakun and Detmer. I like them.
No more.
One or two episodes, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, they're off the show now. I don't like that.
I do not like that. I like these two. Can you imagine
complaining about craft services and like, get these guys off the set?
I don't like these cheese puffs. They're not really cheesy enough. Okay.
Why do we get great value Doritos and Sonequa Martin Green is getting caviar? I just don't get that. These two are causing problems. Get them out of here. I'm sure there's probably like a scheduling issue. You know, I think that the actors who play them are more like day players. They're not really under a contract. And it's very hard for ongoing productions to keep actors like that. And so I'm sure this is just a convenient way for them to go away, which sucks because they've been with us since the beginning. And I do hope that they do come back, but I kind of get the feeling they're not.
So I also, on top of that, I also think there's been a very strong mandate from even the editors to make sure that this thing is flowing and moving fast. And we're not getting a lot of time anymore, I've noticed this season, for reflection and still scenes. It seems to be whipping along pretty fast.
Yeah, no exposition, just straight up. Let's go.
Our buddy Sean Ferrick pointed out that, remember last week when Reese talked about how much he loved the Constitution class from the 23rd century?
Yes.
He should have had a moment there going, oh my gosh, she's beautiful.
I think Reese to take it back because that was his big thing.
Yeah, so honestly, Reese would have made sense to put Reese on the Enterprise in the back. You know, he'd been sitting there in the captain's chair just going, I would have too, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what
would be hilarious if they have the scene where, you know, Detmer walks into quarters and sees that Tantalus device, goes, what does this button do?
But you know what that was, guys? A missed opportunity!
Oh, God!
I don't regret many things in life, but I think making that clip is now one of them.
Why? It's so beautiful.
I have got to stop giving those things. I apologize.
That was great.
Chase actually warned me, don't give him a missed opportunity.
Bloody clip.
Don't you give him a missed opportunity. Don't you dare.
He's going to push that damn thing. Crikey me, you know. It's funny.
You in an agony booth and attack the field all at once. Be like a bite from a redback.
I think it's time to, unless you guys have any other things to bring up.
What are we going to do? What's next? Are we going to?
In the chat, we got to talk to our friends.
Yeah, let's say hello to everybody.
All right. Well, here we go.
Shut up, Wesley.
Yes, brand new bumpers. Brand new segment.
What the hell was that? Let's rock.
The trailer from that movie looked really good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. Yep.
Trap. Go see it
in August. A true highlight was learning the fate of Mirror Spock.
Oh, we did talk about that.
Yeah, that's a great point.
His fate was actually revealed way back in the Deep Space Nine episode Crossover, but it was confirmed by the plaque that was in sick bay on the ISS Enterprise. So whenever Burnham says that thing about, she says that she didn't want to look up the mirror universe of Spock. And then whenever they read that, you're just like, wow, she doesn't even know she's reading about the mirror universe version of Spock.
Yeah. Very interesting. Wow. Very awesome. It's an interesting observation. I'd like to know what the EMHs are used for, if anything, because I had brought up,
there's probably an admiral that's an EMH or a few starship captains or something like that.
They're probably just integrated into the population like every other species at this point.
Yeah.
That's where all the music comes from.
Do they? So we could have Robert Picardo return.
I wanted to see him as the Federation president.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Oh, the EMH?
Yeah.
That would have been fun. Cool. Yeah. It's interesting that they were able to hide the ship in Satan's butthole the way they did the ISS Enterprise.
And Satan was nervous that day, clearly.
Yeah, he kept going.
We've all been there.
or they Satan had been to Taco Bell that earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
That's me whenever my kids are driving me. I'm just like,
Okay, I can't agree with this.
The best season of a Star Trek show, hands down, for Mr. Gaines.
It's a good season. I think it's but it's season not the
four
best.
Of Deep Space Nine or season three of TNG.
Yeah.
Season two of Strange New Worlds.
Season two of
Strange New Worlds. I started Trek with Disco. It's weird. Okay.
Hey,
that's weird. That's great.
It's not weird. We're happy to have you. Welcome to our family.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That is fantastic. You started there.
You're the red.
And that's—I'm sure the people at Star Trek are thrilled with that too, because that's what Discovery by Design was to bring new fans on board. So that's fantastic.
All Trek is good.
Beautiful.
Tilly is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, he is. But she's still gonna be Space Karen one day.
Oh no. Jason Roy Gaston looked like John Lennon.
I'd say because John Lennon's been decomposing for 30-something years now.
God. Well, that's just not a very nice thing for you to say that. You should really be more kind.
Oh, man. Does this lead you to believe that the Prime Spark traveling to the Kelvin universe and back in time probably didn't end well for them? Ooh.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Prime Spark did die before his time, so maybe that was why.
Does it lead you to believe that Prime Spark is traveling?
We got it.
All right, I'd like to believe that there's a possibility that the Breen's bodies break down after death, and perhaps very rapidly, and that's why after one is dead we've never seen their face.
Oh god, that would have been a great scene of Deep Space Nine. Don't you dare play that Missed Opportunity bumper, don't you dare. Kira had killed that Breen and then taken the helmet off, and like all this green goo just came out.
And Odo was sleeping, so a bit.
Odo, is that you?
Fell in Odo's jars. Ah, it's like the peanut butter and chocolate melted together.
Oh, no.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got Odo in my peanut butter.
I've seen people complaining about the new uniforms compared to the way the Breen looked in Deep Space Nine. I've tried to explain that in 800 years have passed, they're going to change. I agree. It's the same
thing. Right, we don't wear the same clothing
that we wore 800 years ago, so I wouldn't expect the Breen to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. If you ever rewatch the season one episode of The Last Outpost, I totally recommend playing Star Trek Resurgence afterwards. You will have an entirely new appreciation for that episode.
Oh, well, you don't need to explain that a little bit further. I would like to know why I would appreciate that.
Yes.
Why do they actually make that episode seem
it
good?
It takes the story of the Tokan Empire and runs with it.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
I look forward to seeing the ISS Enterprise given a 32nd century upgrade. Ooh, similar to how they did Discovery.
I don't think they would upgrade her. To be honest, I think that they would take her to the shipyards and just kind of park her next to all these ships that they still have there, if that place still exists.
Belongs in a museum.
Yeah. Oh, man, Indiana Jones reference.
Plus, really, if the Discovery didn't have the spore drive, what value would Discovery have had for the Federation? Nothing. So the ISS Enterprise would... There's no tech on there that's going to be of any value to the Federation.
That's true. It's just another dimension.
Unless maybe they step inside one of those phone booth things, close the door behind them. What's this used for? Ah, God! I just saw Too Short a Season.
The artifact is a biological entity. Oh, that's why they were reading three.
I think it's going to be. Yeah. I think it's going to be. But we'll talk about that later whenever we talk about it.
Oh, okay. Understood. That's our Tuesday show. Yeah.
Yes.
Burnham has taken something from her university and put it in an item that she picked up from the transporter room as a red herring.
I thought that was very clever.
Yes.
That was good. Ruse.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Her university.
Yeah. We get it.
Don't worry. I read it wrong to be right anyway. Oh, you're fine. Do you think that fourth dimensionally they can come back and save the day with the Enterprise?
No, that was the question. You have to think fourth dimensionally. So he's making a statement.
I don't think we're going to see her again.
Yeah. No?
Yeah. No. I think it's just a one-off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. MFU. He's grateful. Whatever brings you to Star Trek is great. Oh, okay. There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. No gatekeeping in here. We welcome all fans, all shapes, all sizes, no matter how terrible your tastes are.
I mean, they have me on the show.
Think about the loss of all the ships they had because of the burn. Oh, yeah. They're down.
That is true. But I thought at the beginning of the season they had pretty well started to rebuild their fleet, haven't they?
Not really. It's the same. I know. I thought it was. But like I feel like the fleet is traveling with the space dock, and that's all the ships they have. So they kind of want to build like a fleet. Let's say the Breen decides and blobs their way over to take over the Federation. They don't have a chance.
Let's think of 1941 when Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor and destroyed most of the fleet. The U.S. didn't go back to a ship like helmed by the Vikings and bring it in to boost up their fleet today. So to me, that's a very similar point, isn't it? It's too old. It's just a hunk of metal at this point.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it. That's for sure. Well, my friends, this is when I relinquish all controls and allow, I throw it over to my co-host, Jason Hatswell.
For what? What are we doing?
Don't we have a thing for this week?
We have a new segment, don't we? Yeah. No, we do not have a Name That Trek episode for this week. So I ran out of time, but we do have a new segment,
which is
your helming. So
okay, so I'll just go.
Nothing to add.
All right, so here we go. Yeah, it wouldn't be in Captain's Quadrant without a little miscommunication. But yeah, let's talk about
Let Me Catch Up.
All right, very cool new intro. Really cool, fun one. I know it's hard to read, but there is indeed a brief crew member visible in the Discovery episode, which basically means Star Trek Discovery has their own Game of Thrones coffee cup moment. But that is in good tradition with Star Trek TNG and the Star Trek movies, because you could see a crew member in one of the movies. The director, Doug Aronofsky, admits that his baseball cap is briefly in Discovery Season 5, Episode 2, Under the Twin Moons. In Discovery's defense, however, there is a production gaffe anywhere near as noticeable as the infamous coffee cup in Game of Thrones. So,
Joe, I love you, Joe. You know that.
Yeah.
You're a good friend of mine. I really. But how in the hell is that any newsworthy talking about?
Because it's funny. I like
Out of all the news you could have shown, you could have gone to StarTrek.com, maybe have a look at Variety.
I did. There wasn't anything going on.
That we don't know has left a cap in the background.
Did you guys catch that?
If that's the case, let's just change this segment to this.
Let me catch up.
Pointless news.
That is pointless Star Trek news.
You know what? That was not a missed opportunity. He went in. There you go.
So I can't. What we should have talked about is the gentleman and, you know, the husband and wife team who started the campaign to bring back Star Trek. He unfortunately passed away.
Oh, recently. Wow.
You know, and his importance to Star Trek fandom over the 50 plus years has been significant, like been amazing. So, I can't remember the gentleman's name right now because I don't actually have the story up. But
John,
hats off. Oh, thank you for John, that, Jason. Yeah.
John with Bijo Trimble are the reason why we have Star Trek today.
Mm-hmm.
So, John Trimble, we salute you, sir. Clear horizons. May the wind be forever at your back.
And a slight twist, I'm going to put you under the spot here, Jason. There was a character in season one of TNG that seemingly went missing. And then I went, what happened to Argyle? Whatever happened to Engineer Argyle? And then Jason explained to me this.
Oh, you want me to say it? Okay.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we're not waiting, man.
Okay. So the actor who played Chief Argyle in season one of Star Trek The Next Generation was fired. Because the actor solicited people to write fan mail not only about Next Generation, but specifically about his character, Chief Argyle, which this was a magnificent scheme. What he did not realize, though, was that they were writing fan mail for episodes that had not aired yet. So people were saying, oh my gosh, we just loved Argyle in this episode. He needs more scenes. And they're like, this episode's not supposed to air for 3 weeks. What's going on? So they ended up firing him. And what is sad is that they were planning on making his character permanent anyway.
Oh, man.
He shot himself in the foot.
He put his phaser on setting 16 and blew his entire leg off. So this actor was Biff Yeager was his name. And he is, just kind of a fun little bit of Star Trek trivia for you. He had a career that went on long after Star Trek, so he was not completely destroyed by this. But yeah, poor Chief Argyle. And in the comics, by the way, they're not canon, but in the comics, Argyle is actually murdered. And somebody goes around killing all of the engineers of the Enterprise. And so Geordi basically is like, oh no, they're going to come after me next. And I can't remember why, but yeah, everybody you saw in Star Trek, the woman who was before Argyle and then Argyle, they end up like murdering all these people. And then they're going to go after Geordi because I guess they just did not want Argyle to be part of TNG because
and
God, you do not ask people to write fan mail.
And I'll tell you what, if Singh had made it out of that episode, season one, he would have been on that list as well.
I think the actor ended up on Seafest.
He did not. That's a different actor. I know who you're talking about. That's not Biff Yeager.
Was Argyle the one with the Traveler? Was he the one that called out with the Traveler episode when they go off a billion light years?
He's talking about how full of crap that Kaczynski was.
He's also featured heavily in Data Lore as well. He was in that bit.
Well, here's a fun fact about this actor. He was in a show that Brent Spiner was in and recently called Night Court.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, and Brent, he was in Brent my Spiner. Favorite Batman movie, Batman Returns. He was a background actor, security guard number 2.
Cool guy.
Yeah, there you go. You would appreciate that. There's a connection. Yeah, it all comes together.
Maybe don't solicit a fan mail thing, though. David.
Yeah, don't start fan mail.
No.
So the actor in the first season of Sequest DSV, his name was actually Royce D. Applegate. And unfortunately, he's one of the many actors who fell victim to the Sequest curse.
So what's the Sequest curse?
The Sequest curse is that a strange number of people who were involved with Sequest basically died in accidents or died way before their time because Royce D. Applegate died in a fire. Jonathan Brandis, unfortunately, ended his life before that. And
he's not
with us anymore.
If you're implying that because it was filmed in southeast Queensland down here in Australia, that Australia had anything to do with this, I can neither confirm or deny.
It was the Gators.
We don't have crops, mate, not Gators.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm thinking of Florida.
I don't know. Maybe Royce Applegate came home one day. There was a koala sitting on this couch, lights a match going, you thought you could get away from us, didn't you? Drops it.
Yeah.
Fire erupts on the ground in the shape of Australia. Like a daredevil. I'm going to help.
Nah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going
to
be a party.
He's coming to Australia one day.
I'll be waiting for you. Yeah.
Well, I think we saved that segment. I think we saved it.
That's what's called teamwork.
We saved it.
Yeah. Did we, though?
Yeah, we did. Totally. It was a whole thing about Argyle. That was cool. This was a great episode of Star Trek Discovery. Yes. We got more pieces of the puzzle. We've got the mystery box still looming in the background. And we've got connections. We've got friendships building on the ship. So lots to solve. And we've got love. Yes.
Unless you're booked, of course. Unless you're booked. Yeah. You've got to hang out with your ex like the whole time. Mm-hmm. And for, like constantly deny him.
Yeah. But I think I think I really
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
That is your
setting that gag up. You know that.
I think that this has been great. I think that we are gonna have one of the most memorable seasons, and I just hope they stick to the landing like you guys have said. But is there anything you guys want to part? Is there something happening that you maybe want to talk about that's going on?
Absolutely, yes. We have to tell them about Trek Long Island.
Yes. Right. Yes.
That little thing.
Yeah, that thing. Next month, you can hang out with all three of us. And this next month, all three of us will hang out with each other for the first time. In Trek Long Island 2, there's going to be so many Star Trek stars, so many actors that have so much to do with the Trek universe. There's going to be authors, background actors, singers, and fellow podcasters just all hanging out, relaxing, chillaxing, if you will. We will be on stage. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Going to be a blast.
Going to be a blast. You can meet the Breen Man himself, Elias Tufexis, in person. And, of course, crewman. That's too small. I can't read his name. But there are going to be a lot of Star Trek Discovery characters and actors there. It's going to be so fun. You got to get tickets. Get your tickets in advance so you're not waiting online. Long Island is a very, very, very beautiful place, but lots of trees. You don't want to be on the long line hitting out into the trees because the entryway is kind of right into the parking lot. So buy your tickets in advance so you can hang out with us and all the wonderful people that had so much to do in the 57 years of Trek. It'll be 50. Yeah, still 57, 58 in August. So be sure to do that. Of course, David, you've got your moment coming up. Is there anything else that you could possibly tell us about that's coming up?
I was going to say as well, too, if you guys can you send me photos and stuff like that while you're there, I'd love to see it.
Of course. Of course.
Please.
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
Like, there's going to be video. There's going to be so much. No one's going to be able to take a step without a photo.
Yeah. Yeah. When these guys go to sleep, I'll send you photos, too.
That's creepy.
That's creepy. That is so creepy. You guys excited to stay at my place now?
If you don't mind, may I plug my event that's coming?
Absolutely.
Up?
That was what I was leaning for.
Yeah. Man. So, in case you cannot make it to Trek Long Island and you happen to live in the southern United States, please come to Fort Worth on May 11th at 11 a.m. I am going to be part of the Funky Town Focus Celebration in Fort Worth. The event is actually called The Sound and Fury of Jason Roy Gaston. So I will be doing a little one-man show there, I suppose. But please come on out and see me. I'd love to see you. And we'll be doing it without these two jokers right here. So you know it's going to be a lot more pleasant.
But nowhere near as fun, for sure.
Oh, and vote for me for America's favorite teacher.
That's right.
I'm currently in first place.
Number one.
You know what they say? If you ain't first, you're last.
And I've got no rhythm. What's going on with that?
Yeah. Mind you, we have no evidence whether the kids actually like him or not.
They hate me. Hate makes me powerful.
It's not one kid in the class go, Mr. Gaston sucks. There's got to be one, right?
Of course.
Oh, there's way more than one. Way more.
No, please vote for him. You know he's a fantastic teacher.
He's a great guy.
Let's support him.
It's all true. Go to my website, jasonroygaston.com. You can find a link there. I would appreciate your vote. You can vote every day, once a day, or more if you pay money. It all goes to a good cause.
What's the cause?
The cause is me winning. No, it goes to an educational charity. Oh, if I win, I get a trip to Hawaii.
No, really?
Wow.
So put me on a plane and send me away. Everybody wants to. Please do it.
So
he's getting himself a little ticky-ticky kind of necklace. All of a sudden, he's going to be a spider in his hotel bed.
Oh. Yeah, they have the big old potatoes.
Hey, Brady Bunch episode. Come on, guys. Yeah, put it together.
Yeah. No, I knew that was a Brady Bunch episode. I couldn't believe you went there. Yeah. It was a very Brady.
I'm that old. I will.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week of the Captain's Quadrant.
Please. I got to mention Brady Bunch in a Star Trek show.
Well done.
Pretty happy with that.
What's
I was going to say there's a missed opportunity. It's a shame our buddy Michael Chan is not in season 5 of Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Wonder why he's doing his character right now. Do you think he's kind of been promoted at this point? Or is it a Harry Kim situation happening all over again?
Well, he's already higher than Harry Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was born with a higher rank than Harry Kim. Yeah. Our friend Michael Chan has been having great success in his career.
Yes.
Congratulations. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. Yeah. So we're just theorizing about his character in Discovery, what happened to him.
Yeah. Hopefully he shows up and starts.
He bailed from that you know, he bailed from the headquarters pretty quickly, didn't he?
He's with Detmer and Owosikan flying the Enterprise back to Starfleet at impulse speed. You know, there's 5 months into the journey, they'll still be sitting there. Are we there yet? Please get somebody to fix the warp drive.
Yeah.
Last time we fixed the warp drive, somebody vaporized for no reason in the cafeteria. No, we're not touching it.
Yeah,
he's a fantastic guy, though.
So and big congratulations.
He's been helping me out a lot. So
nice.
Hopefully he shows up in Starfleet Star Trek Academy.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Only films down the road from him.
Because if he gets a part in Starfleet Academy, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying he might be able to put his foot in the door for us.
Jason, you don't look 16 anymore. I know you think you can play a 16-year-old, but I'm sorry, buddy.
I think David's got a good chance of getting in, maybe.
America's favorite teacher.
Now with these gray hairs.
America's favorite teacher.
That's
James.
That is true.
You could be America's favorite security guard on the show, Dave.
No, I want to play that cool professor who walks in. He's got on glasses and he's just like, okay, I'm way too hungover. I don't know, research something. You know, kind of like what I do every morning.
Mm. Stop typecasting me, Joe Dove.
he needs diversity in his lives.
I mean, or maybe you could be a Klingon. We want to know what Klingons look like in the 32nd section. Maybe you could.
That'd be cool, right?
They have giant butts on their forehead by that point, and they talk through them. That's what they. Yeah. That's what's happened by that point. Like, I'm all about honor.
Exactly. Make me a Klingon. Make me a Cardassian. Let me, something cool.
Yeah, get some neck makeup going with the car.
Yeah.
They have big veined necks on the side. It's always awesome.
Did you guys see the stuff that Star Trek guy put out from the con that he went to? He actually hung out with Cassidy Biggs in Cardassian garb.
Oh, and I did see that. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So cool. I want to be a
check that out. It was really cool. He kind of did a whole bit and everything. So
awesome.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All right, that's all wrapped up for this amazing episode of Star Trek Captain's Quadrant or Captain's Quadrant Review Star Trek, however you want to call it. Be sure to get your tickets to Trek Long Island. Come say hi. We're giving out stuff. You can get stuff at our table, and there's going to be a dog. Everybody loves dogs.
Ooh, a dog. Okay, yes, I'll be there.
Have a great weekend.
Yes, thank you, my figure universe.
You're the best, dude.